Thank you, Lord. He is truly worthy. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, amen. And it reads, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses his savor, wherefore shall it be salty? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestand, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. And I'm going to tell you this. God is so good. Amen. And wonderful. Amen. And I just want to talk to you a little bit today. Amen. Just to let you know what Father God has said about each and every one of us. Amen. What he said we are. And we are what he said we are. Amen. We are. Amen. And here he gives us both a great compliment and a great responsibility when he says that we are the salt of the earth, amen, and the light of the world. And the reason that is because Jesus claimed this title for himself as he walked the earth, amen. In John 8:12, it says that, amen. But I want to give you guys something on today because I want you guys to go home, stand strong, and show what Father God has called you to be and be all that he's called you to be. Amen. We are a living testimony of his love and truth. Amen. Jesus calls us the salt and the light because we are to preserve and transform the world with his peace and grace. We can't do none of this by ourselves, saints. Nothing. Nothing by ourselves. Amen. We are that through him and only him. Amen. For us as believers, this also presents a challenge, amen. If someone who follows Jesus is not living a life that reflects their relationship, can they be used by him? Amen. I heard a pastor say the other day, he said a lot of men want to step in and step out. A lot of men want to have one foot in and one foot out and call themselves Christians. And call themselves believers and call themselves followers. But you so confused that you don't know where you want to be. Amen. But God has told us, saints, we are the salt of the earth. Amen. Salt makes an impression and it affects the food that we eat. As salt affects food, we should be just as effective with our witnessing to people. Amen. That's how it should be. Now, this represents an eternal characteristic, amen, because God has put something in each and every one of us, amen. You are not your own, and you are not what you used to be, amen. So you cannot continue to live the life that you lived before, amen. Jesus said we are the salt of the earth. He didn't say of our house. He didn't say of our neighborhood, amen. He didn't say on the job. See, we want to put limits on what Jesus tells us to do, and we want to put limits on what we hear about Jesus, amen? Jesus said this, you are the salt of the earth. That's a whole lot, amen? That's a whole lot, but I just want to be the salt of my house. We want to minimize it, amen? See, this is the thing about God. God, his word is great, and it's awesome. But we want to minimize it because it comes with responsibility. Amen? It comes with a need that we have to do something. Amen? Salt, when it's used right, according to the dictionary, it says this: salt of the earth means an individual or group considered as a representative of the best and noblest element of society. Jesus told us again, we are the salt of the earth. Amen. You're not just salt in here. So what does it mean that I can only talk to people that are in Ypsilanti? I can only talk to people in Detroit? No, he said the earth. That means everywhere you go, you should be sharing what God has put in you. Amen. He describes his followers and believers today as salt and light. We are clearly called to influence and make the world a better place. Aren't we? Because we're not just here just to be here. We're not. Father God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I tell y'all this all the time because, Pastor, a lot of times I see things and to me it's foolish. But wisdom always comes out of it, amen? The longer you look at something, you're going to get something out of it, amen? Too much salt, and we all know this, too much salt can overpower food, can't it? Too much salt can overpower the world. Understand what I'm saying? Jesus called us the salt of the earth. So if it's too much salt, what happens? We overpower it, amen? But it's not enough salt going around in this earth, in this world, amen? We live in a hard and a rough world, amen? And I want to say this, because I want you to see this in the natural and the spiritual, amen? And here's the natural. Salt has the ability to break through the hardest of hard ice and melt it, right? But it takes time. It's not an instantaneous thing. It takes time, amen? Now, I'm going to ask you guys this. Have you ever sprinkled salt down on ice outside and sat there and listened to it? And you hear the crackling, amen? It's a process. It takes time for the salt to affect that which it lays on, amen? But here's the spiritual part of that. We are the salt of the world. Father God has given us the ability to break through the hardest of hard hearts. Amen? See, sometimes we talk to people, and if they're not getting what we're saying, what do? We give up and walk away. It's taking too long. As I just said, it's a process. When you speak to someone about God, don't just give up on them because they're not getting it. It's a process. It takes time. Amen? There's been many people that have been witnessed to over and over again. And it's not that they're not getting the word. It's just the person that's telling them the word is not telling them in the right way. Amen? But all it takes is that one. You know, we always talk about, we tell our children this growing up. They don't listen to us. But as soon as somebody else tells them the same thing, they get it. Do we get mad? Sometimes, because what I've been telling you all these years, somebody come up this day and tell you this, and now you get it, and they get the credit for it. I'm gonna be honest about it. I don't like it, because if I told you something over and over again, and somebody comes and tells you one time, and you get it, I'm glad you got it, but I wanted it to be for me. Amen. Now, many strong men and women, stubborn, don't want to receive the word of God, amen? But all it takes is that one person that's able to get through to them, that's able to talk to them in a way to where they understand it and they receive it, amen? Salt has a strong effect, saints, a strong effect, amen? Jesus also said this in 13. He said, but if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is neither henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Jesus said, again, we are the salt of the world. Amen. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? How? Is it no longer good for nothing but to be cast out or to be trodden on? Amen. I want you to listen to this. And here's an example related to the Israelites. Amen. In the Old Testament, they were called to a covenant with God to be his nation. They represented him to the world so that all may come to know him. But you know what happened? They lost their saltiness. They lost it. And God was not pleased with them, amen? God called them to do something and they weren't able to do it and didn't want to do it. How many of us know when you put salt in something that it doesn't stop flavoring it? Amen. You ever put salt in something and it's too salty? What do? That don't always work. When salt is good for nothing, salt is good for nothing when it is diluted. Amen. You just constantly pour water in it, and just hope that you get something out of it. Amen. When you water it down enough, it loses its savor and it loses its strength. Amen. We're the salt of the world. When the world continues to water things down, what do you think eventually is going to happen to the people of God? When you allow this to happen to you, you're going to lose it. Jesus told his followers to be careful not to lose their flavor of their creator. Amen. See, that's one thing I love about God is this. He always, as Sister Rosalind was saying, always warns us of things to come. Amen. But many times, and Father God showed me this morning, this ain't even a part of this. In everything that we do, there is always a warning. So no one could ever say, I didn't know. There is always a warning. You may not be aware of it, and you may not even know that that is a warning. But God is warning a lot of us today of the things to come. Amen? How does salt lose its flavor? Because it's watered down, it's diluted. Don't put yourself in a situation where you become that diluted, salty water. Amen? Jesus said that ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Amen? Jesus drew out the good flavor, or salt drew out the good flavor hidden in the food and preserved what would rather be spoiled. Amen. Salt draws out the goodness in food, doesn't it? Because many people go ahead and just sprinkle it down on there. I'm gonna tell you guys this, and I was debating if I should say this or not, because I don't want y'all to think that I've ever done this. You ever go to a restaurant? Your food look good and you hungry and you ready to eat. And you pick up the salt shaker. And the top comes off. The reason I say that is this. I've had that happen before. I've seen people actually do that. We're going to get the next person that comes in. We're going to do that. They loosen the top up, hoping that somebody comes in and don't think or check and just pours it out on their food. Amen. Now, I don't want y'all to think that I'm the one that did anything like that. I'm just saying I've seen people do things like that. Amen. I wouldn't do that. Amen. But as I was saying, salt draws out the goodness of the food. Amen. Saints, you are the salt of the earth. Amen. What are you supposed to do? Draw out the goodness in people. See, everybody ain't mean. Everybody ain't bad. There's some good people in this world. Amen. All they need is a little drawing out. Amen. And that's what we're here for. Look at all these people in here. Look at all this salt in here. And look at all the lives we can affect, because With as many people in here today, let me say this. A little bit of salt, it don't take much, amen? Because a little bit goes a long way, don't it? We are the salt that draws out the goodness in people. There are still some good people seeking to know Jesus Christ, amen? But are you the one saying what needs to be said to draw that out of them, amen? Are you the one that's right there that they need to hear what it is that you have to say to bring them in, amen? We are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, meaning if the salt has lost its purpose, he done already told you what your purpose is. You're the salt. You have a purpose to draw out, amen? To draw out the goodness in people. Jesus told us, he told us what we are and our purpose, amen? In Jesus' day, salt was a valuable commodity. Is it that way today? Do you know that Roman soldiers were paid in salt? That's how valuable it was. Jesus is saying how valuable you are. And here's another thing. A lot of people in Christ don't know their value. They don't know their value, amen? Because some people have been so broke down and beat up in the world that when they do receive Jesus Christ, they think that they're of no value, amen? But Jesus told them, you are the salt of the earth, amen? We have to preserve and influence, just like salt, because the world is rotten and decaying. As believers, we have to preserve and influence the culture that we're in, amen? You have something to share. You have something to give. We are supposed to be flavorful people, amen? When we go somewhere, we're supposed to mix things up, amen? We're supposed to bring that seasoning. But not only that, being the seasoning that brings out the goodness in people, Jesus also said this about us, amen? He said in 14, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestand, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. When people look at you, what are they seeing? Are they seeing a flickering light? Are they seeing the bulbness out? Or are they seeing the brightness of Jesus in you? Now, this metaphor used by Jesus in this verse speaks of the light of his truth, the light of his word, the light of eternal life. Those who perceive the true light will never walk in spiritual darkness, amen? When you receive Jesus Christ, there's a change. There's a difference in you, amen? We are no longer walking in darkness, amen? To be the light of the world means to have truly allowed Jesus to reside within you. Have you ever heard people say this about women? I see that glow in you. Have you ever heard people say that about you? I see that glow. It's something different about you. What is it? That's the light of Christ. Amen? That is the light of Christ that glows within me. Amen? The light of Jesus has to be taken into the darkness of sin that engulfs the hearts and lives of those who are not following him. That's the covenant behind having the light that we follow him. Saints, don't be fearful to speak to people about the light of Jesus. Don't be that, amen? Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, amen? He has not. But God has given us something that we need to share with others, amen? Jesus came into this dark world, amen? Followers of Jesus, listen. We are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Don't hide your light. Amen. Don't hide your light. Christ knew that there would be strong temptation for men that their light be hidden. Amen. That's why he said that. Because he knew men would hide their light. And to me, when I think about that, in Luke 9:26, it says this. It says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me," are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? Is that why you won't speak? Is that why you won't share of Christ Jesus? Amen. You are the light of the world. Amen. But Luke 9:26 says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, or him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Putting our light under a bushel that no one can see it, amen? We are to put the lampstand that it may give light off, that people see whose you are. Amen. Jesus compares his followers to a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, because we are kingdom people. Know who you are, saints. Know who you are. We are kingdom people. We are meant to be beacons in the night, providing spiritual light to the lost and dying world. That's what we're supposed to be, a beacon of light, that people may see us. But Jesus said this in John 9 and 5. He said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But then he told us, we are the light of the world. Jesus is that light that illuminates in our lives, amen? Everyone who puts their faith and trust in him will no longer remain in darkness. So he delivered us from that. Because we were walking around constantly in darkness, not knowing where we were going and what we were doing. Amen. What we surround ourselves with and what we put ourselves in, that is what we become. If you surround yourself with people in darkness, what do you think eventually is going to happen to you? When you surround yourself with godly people and their light so shine. Amen. And that reminds me of this. When Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," the closer we get to Jesus. Have you ever held two matches together? One's lit and one isn't. And when you hold them close, it ignites the other one. Amen? But that's what we're supposed to be, amen? The closer we get to Christ, that illuminating light we are to become, amen? We are the light of the world, amen? The light of the world means that we are not only light receivers, but also light givers, amen? That's what we're supposed to be doing, amen? And I'm not saying this for myself. I'm saying this because this is what God has given unto me to say unto you. Turn with me with Matthew 10, 5 and 8, amen? Matthew 10, 5 and 8, because I want you to see what he says here. Not just light receivers, but light givers, amen? And it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaria enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, and freely give." Amen. He didn't just give you something to hold on to, but he gave you something to pass on. Amen. We must have a greater concern than only ourselves, and we cannot live only to ourselves. Amen. Meaning we can't be selfish people. We can't be selfish because God has given us something to share with others. We need to be selfless. Amen. We are called to be selfless people, not selfish people. We must have someone to shine to. And in doing that, we have to do it in a lovingly way. Amen. Because you can't beat nobody over the head to get them to receive God's word. Amen. And you can't yell and scream at them to get them if they don't understand it. Amen. In Matthew 5:16, he says this, and this is Jesus. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus never said, "I want you to be a light." He never said that. "I want you to be a light." Amen. But he said this. He simply said, "You are the light of the world." Amen. And it reminds me what Jesus said when he said, we are the light of the world. In Genesis 1:3, this is what his Father said. See, when Jesus speaks, there's action. When he speaks, something's going to happen. Amen. In Genesis 1:3, his Father said this. It says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." That's it. There was no, "I hope the light comes on. Maybe the light might come on. We'll see what happens." Just as Jesus is telling us today, ye are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Amen. And we are either fulfilling or failing at the responsibility given to us. Amen. See, we don't want to hear that. Amen. We are either fulfilling what God has told us to do, or we're failing at what God has told us to do. Amen. Let your light so shine. You ever do this when you see people, your old friends? Do you start acting the old way you used to act when they're around? Or are you the new you that Christ Jesus has called you out of darkness? Amen. Because I've seen that too. Your people act all hip and got the limp and all that stuff. And you weren't doing that before. Why are you doing it now? "I don't want my friends to know." A city on a hill. A light cannot be hidden. You can't go from this to that. The Bible tells us to choose. Amen. Now, the light. We are the light. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this, something, another, natural to the spiritual, the foolish and the wise. When we used to grow up, or when we were growing up in Detroit, when we were little kids, soon as nighttime came, we would always look at the street lights outside. We had some huge street lights, Pastor, big street lights. And when they lit up the whole street. But we were fascinated because we wanted to see how many bugs it would attract. And I mean, it was some big bugs that those lights attracted too, because they were big enough to where when they hit them, you heard them. Amen. But just as that light shined, it attracted things to it in the darkness. In this dark world that we live, you are the light that is to attract people to you. Amen. See, there's people out here tired of living in the darkness, and they trying to find a way. Amen. And Jesus said, what? "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen. We are that light that they seek. We are that light that illuminates in the darkness. Amen. And it's sad to think of this. But, you know, when it does get dark out and the street lights do come on, do you know we're supposed to have dominion over this? But the smartest ones, the animals and the insects, they know when it gets dark, they know what they need to do. Find a light or find shelter. What will men do? They embrace the darkness. That's why we're where we are right now. Because men's evil deeds are done in the dark. Amen? And man is truly today still embracing the darkness. Amen? But no one wants to come to the light. Amen? And I'm going to tell you this. There's some out there looking for the light, but they haven't found the light. All this salt and all this light in here, there is a work that Father God is calling us to do. Amen? Saints, our light is needed because this world is in darkness. And if we imitate the darkness, we have nothing to show this world that we live in. Amen? For us to be effective, we must seek and display the light of Christ. We can never affect the world for Jesus by becoming like the world. Amen? You hear people talking about, I'm going to infiltrate them. Okay. You infiltrate darkness. What do you think is eventually going to happen to you? What happens when they find out that someone's infiltrating a gang or something like that? They wipe them out. This ain't the time for army games or anything like that. This is for real life. Amen? Let your light so shine before men. This world cannot get light except it's received through us. And we are to be the light in this dark world. Hear this, people of God. We have no place in society. None. Because as soon as you start talking about Jesus, people are either going to walk away or start yelling at you. Amen? And that's just how it is. In John 17, 14, and 15, it says this. It says, I have given them thine word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shalt take them out of the world, but that thou shalt keep them from the evil. Amen. Saints, we live in this evil world and we ain't going to be taken out, but we have to learn how to be the light of the world. Amen. We are that light that Christ has called us to be, amen. We are that light. I want to close with this, amen. The salt of the earth, the light of the world. As believers, being wise towards unbelievers and making the most of every opportunity, our words are to be gracious. Offering the way like the seasoning of salt with the goal of helping others and giving understanding to the word. Amen. In Colossians 4, 5 and 6, it tells us this. And this is for all of us. Amen. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Amen? All it takes is for you to answer somebody the wrong way and they are done with you. That's all it takes. Father God is concerned with life and our interactions with the world. He wants us to care about others by our light. And as the salt of the earth, our kind and edifying words, amen, words will either draw or they will reject, amen. Words will be received or people will just walk away from you, amen. Now, Paul's letter to the church of Colossians with the explanation of what Christianity was, is when he mentioned salt, he was giving them guidance on how to behave in a Christ-like manner. He encouraged them to conduct themselves with wisdom, which includes speaking in a manner that is gracious. Speak words that enhance the conversation that you have about Christ Jesus. Amen. Because someone doesn't get it, don't get upset. Amen. Our speech is supposed to be with grace. Amen. My wife tells me sometimes the way I speak sometimes is kind of rough. You shouldn't have said that. I didn't think it was that bad. Do I talk rough sometimes, saints? See, L, thank you. I mean, let me say this. If I say something to you, I'm not coming at you. I don't want you to think that. I'm trying to be gracious. I want words of peace to come out. But I'm not the type, at least I don't, well, she may say I am. I'm not the type, Pastor, that if you don't get what I'm saying, then I'm going to get upset with you. Amen? I just want you to understand what's being said. And do I get a little, when you don't understand what I'm saying, I might take it up a little bit to try to get you to understand that word. But in all things, saints, we have to be Christ-like in his manner, amen, and conduct ourselves with wisdom. And that means the way that we speak to one another, amen. The way that we speak to one another. And husbands and wives, I don't want y'all looking at each other right now because I don't want nobody saying nothing to me, amen. And that's the thing. I've been to those before where they say husband look at the wife, wife look at the husband, and next thing you know, they walking out separately. So I ain't got nothing to do with that. But our words and actions will draw or reject people by those we on how we speak to people. Amen? You can speak to some people and you can just draw them in because they love to hear what you're saying. But as soon as you say one word that they don't receive, they're going to walk away from you. Amen? So we have to be careful in our conduct on how we speak to people. But we have to continuously, saints, let our light so shine that people see us. Amen? And want to know what is different about you. Because I want to know what it is that I need to do to be that way. Amen. So at this time, amen, I'm going to turn it back over into the hands of our pastor. Amen. Before I say something. Amen.